Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury. Now, here's Justin.
Thank you, Brother Dearman. Yes, this is another installment of Reading the Word. My name is Justin Reed, and I am honored to have you here, spending just 15 minutes or so of your afternoon. And we're going to continue. The name of the program explains it all. We are simply reading God's Word. And that's what we're going to be doing here for the next 15 minutes or so. We're halfway through a study, and we have entitled it Overcoming the World. And so we began the study last time with Faith is the Victory. We looked at that song, How Faith is the Victory. There are 4 points. It was plain and simple. And now we will finish it up here as we sing the song, Faith is the Victory. It ends simply by saying that overcomes the world. And so that's where I want us to direct our time that we have here today. Our scripture text for this lesson comes from John chapter 16 and verse 33, where Jesus Christ says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world," he says, "you're going to have some tribulation, but be of good cheer," he says, "for I have overcome the world." You know, Jesus overcame the world. How did he do that? Well, he did that simply by his sacrificial death, dying there upon the cross for my sins and for yours. In fact, Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, Paul says that Jesus gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and also of our Father. And John has some to add on this there in 1 John chapter 2, there in verses 15 through 17, where John, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes, "Love not this world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world," there's three categories. It's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and also the pride of life, he says, "is not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God," the Bible says, "he abideth forever." Friends, overcoming the world means overcoming the sin that is so ever prevalent in and present in the world. So friends, how can we overcome the world just as Jesus Christ did? We can overcome the world, number one, because God gives us the power. Number one, how do we overcome the world? God gives us the power. God is in us, and he gives us the power to overcome. If you're with me in 1 John chapter 4, flip over maybe a page to 1 John 2. Flip over to 1 John chapter 4, where John says, "You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth, and also the spirit of error." So we see that God is in us, and God being in us gives us the power to overcome the world. Friends, where does the power of God come from? Well, first and foremost, it comes from his gospel. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, which you could call the thesis statement there of that great book. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." It is the power, and from that word power is what we get our English word dynamite. We think about the great power that is in dynamite, that is equivalent to the great power that is within the Word of God that dwells in us. If we have the Word of God, if we have been saved, also we learn from the Hebrew writer, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, a passage I feel you're familiar with. The Hebrew writer says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and also the intent of the heart." So, how do we overcome the world? By having a knowledge of God's Word. You know, Paul told Timothy once in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that hath not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." He goes on in the third chapter, in the verse 16 and 17, he says, "All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for four things." He says, "For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and also instruction in righteousness, that the man of God," watch it, "may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all," or every, "good works." Friends, power exists nowhere else in the world but in the Word of God. So how can we overcome the world? Well, first and foremost, we see that God provides that power through His Word. But secondly, and this kind of recaps some of what we've already discussed, but it expounds upon it just a little bit more, we see that faith truly is the victory. That's point number two. Faith is what gives us or affords us the victory. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, the Bible says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" Friends, faith truly is the victory. And if you're just now joining this radio broadcast, we spent two lessons talking about how faith is the victory, and they're archived, and they're available for you at no charge, no cost, and I'd be delighted if you found them. They're all on my website, www.thejustinreedshow.com/readingtheword. That's www.thejustinreedshow.com/readingtheword. Friends, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. We also see that when our faith is manifested, and by that I mean being born of God, that is a requirement for us to be saved. Well, we start this point looking in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, where Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, comes to Jesus Christ by night, and he says, "Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles except God be with him." And notice Jesus Christ answers him and says, "Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said unto him, "But how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Must be born of water and of the Spirit. If you're tuned into this radio broadcast, we need to take a quick break. We're going to tell you about where I preach, the Wood Church of Christ, and we'll be back right on the other side of this break for more of Reading the Word.
Reading the Word with Justin Reed is sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ. The building is located at 99 Sally Parton Road at the base of Short Mountain, 6 miles off 70 on Short Mountain Road on the left. Join us for Bible study Sunday at 10 a.m., worship at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Once again, welcome back to Reading the Word. My name is Justin Reed, and I am so thrilled that you've decided to stick around on the other side of this break as we are continuing looking at how we can overcome the world, and that faith is the thing that gives us that victory. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. If you have your copy of God's Word, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, the Bible says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." So Peter tells us we need to be born again by what, Peter? Well, of incorruptible seed that comes through a knowledge of the word of God. Back up to verse 3 of 1 Peter 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Friends, faith truly is what gives us the victory. We must be born again. It comes through Jesus Christ and the power of his word. What are you talking about, Peter? Well, he sums it up there towards the end of the third chapter, 1 Peter chapter 3, and verse 21, where Peter says, the like figure, he just finished talking about the salvation that occurred through Noah, and he says, "A like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." What is it that saves, Peter? He says it is baptism. How do we acquire that? Well, we start with faith, and then we act upon that. We hear, believe, repent, confess, and upon that confession we are baptized. Friends, the object of our faith, Jesus Christ, he's the one that's made it all possible. Without him, I would be lost, and you would be lost, and the people that you hold dearly in your life, they would be lost. I think about the great confession that Peter had in Matthew chapter 16. Jesus comes into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he says, "Whom do men say that I am?" They say, "Some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, Jeremiah, or maybe one of the other prophets." And then Jesus says, "Well, whom do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "That thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus Christ said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father hath revealed it unto thee. Upon this this rock, the confession that he has made. Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell, or the gates of Hades, they shall not prevail against it. So Peter's confession that Jesus Christ is in fact the Son of God. We also see what John says. John was persuaded. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, Jesus says, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, and they are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And believing, he says, you might have life through his name. Friends, people that obey, other people today are sadly just obeying something that is empty, something that is vain, something that is worthless. So we see when we talk about overcoming the world, first and foremost, God gives us the power. Secondly, faith gives us the victory. Now, thirdly, we say the world shows us what is the alternative. This world shows us what's the alternative. If we decide not to live by faith or follow what God has said, friends, in life, there are a few places in which you can see the alternative of your choice before you make it. You know, if you think about going and buying a brand new vehicle, and maybe it's not the vehicle for you, but you don't know that at the time. There's no way to know that. You kind of just have to go through that experience. The only place in life where you can see what would happen if you went down the other road, that's what I'm talking about here in the world. Because Satan is the one that controls the world. 1 John 5:19, according to the American Standard Version of 1901, says, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth, watch it, in the evil one. The world lieth in the evil one. And then we also see there is nothing good at all about Satan. Nothing. John describes him in John chapter 8, verse 44. He says, you of your father the devil, he is the father of lies. He was a murderer from the beginning. Peter calls him our adversary. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I don't want a hungry lion after me, but that's the equivalent we get there of Satan. He's like a hungry lion if we are on God's side. Friends, we also see that Satan is a deceiver. 2 Corinthians 11:14, Paul says, and don't marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So we see that Satan is a deceiver. He's an adversary, a devourer. He is a father of all lies. Friends, it is possible for the world to overcome us if we are not careful. Let me tell you that again. It is possible for the world to overcome us if we are not careful. We see what I often call some of the scariest verses in all of God's Word are found in 2 Peter 2, verses 19 through 22. Peter says, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, and the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Watch this. For it had been better for them, Peter says, to not have known the way of righteousness, than after they had known it, to turn from the holy commandment that was delivered unto them. But it has happened to them again, according to the true proverb, where the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed into her wallowing in the mire. Why do I call that such a sad, a scary passage? Because it says if they have obeyed the gospel, and then they've turned back to that life of sin, it would have almost been better had they never obeyed the gospel. Boy, that's sad. It is possible. Backsliding is an option, friends. We must have a good, firm foundation, which is the Word of God. We learn that. And the wise man built his house upon the rock. We need to be built upon a firm foundation. And that good, firm foundation is Jesus the Christ. Friends, we're going to have to stop our radio program here. I hope you'll join me next week. We will conclude our study of overcoming the world. Until then, my name is Justin Reed. I do preach at the Wood Church of Christ, and may the good Lord bless you and keep you.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury.